The following program is sponsored by Bell and Pollock PC. Welcome to Champions of the People, the Bell and Pollock Injury Show. Attorneys Gary Bell and Brad Pollock are ready to work for you. Reach Gary, Brad, and their team at championsofthepeople.com or by calling 303-795-5900. That's 303-795-5900.
Good morning, Colorado. Here we go. Y'all ready for this? The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Champions of the People, this is an injury show. We are injury attorneys. We do other radio shows to help the community, and that's the other one's on Saturday morning. But we have a variety of injury shows, and we're so glad to be on KOA at 50 a.m. for our Champions of the People injury show. We champion people's causes. We have for over 30 years. We've helped injured victims put their lives back together again, and sometimes that's a quite formidable task. And we do it, and we've done it, and we help their families. I mean, if you're in an accident, it's a devastating event. It can be very devastating. You know, and I think Brad has said this more than I have on the radio over the years, but getting in your car, driving in your car is one of the most dangerous activities that you can engage in day by day. We don't think about it. You don't think about it, but it is. And then we couple that with the statistics that show about 24 to 25%. It's 24% plus, so we rounded up to 25% of the drivers on the roads in Colorado do not have any insurance. No insurance. And so we've written a new book called Colorado Car Insurance, The Essential Guide. It points your legal compass to true north with regard to car insurance and your knowledge. You can get our book free at our website, championsofthepeople.com. If you call our law firm at 303-795-5900, we can give you a free hard copy. We'll mail it to you. You can pick it up. It doesn't matter. It's the essential guideline. It's got great narrative explanations. It's got simple instructions, what you need to know and what you need to do. And best of all, it's free. Okay, you know, our typical example in these shows is a car accident, a car crash. It could be a truck car crash, a motorcycle crash, but it's usually a crash of some kind, but it can apply to any trauma, the things we say. You know, and so you're off work, you're going home, you think you're going to be home in about 15 or 20 minutes, then boom, you're hit from behind. Then starts the issues. Then you have to have the, you call the police. Then yeah, maybe you go to the emergency room. Maybe you go to the doctor. And we're going to talk about that today. And maybe you don't go to the emergency room. Maybe you go to your PCP. We're going to talk about that today. Then the fight with the insurance company for the at-fault party starts. And they're going to try to seize advantage and take advantage at the very get-go and take advantage and get a lead and keep the lead, period. Simple as that. All right, so now that you've had an accident, we say before that if you're at the scene of the accident, the first thing you do is take care of yourself medically. We're going to talk about police reports today, and we're going to talk about the emergency room today. And the first part of the show deals with the emergency room. So let's say you're in this accident, the police are called, and we're going to get to the police report, but Brad, they say you need to go in an ambulance, you agree to go in an ambulance, some people refuse, and that can be used against you, but you agree to go in an ambulance, you get to the emergency room, and then how do these insurance companies attack these emergency room records against you, this victim, that just got rear-ended and whammed?
Now, the manner and method with which an emergency room deals with your injuries is quite different from whether or not you have an injury and how your doctor is going to deal with your injuries. Emergency rooms are there to deal with injuries that are life-threatening at the time. That's the first thing they look at. And if it's not a life-threatening injury, then there's not going to be as much care given to you at the emergency room. It makes sense. The emergency room is there for dealing with injuries that need immediate attention. So if you've got, if you hit your head and you have a bump on your head and you're dizzy or don't have a full consciousness or you don't quite understand what's going on, the emergency room may not do much with you. They may run some tests. If you're complaining about a problem with your arm or with your chest, the emergency room might run some tests and do some x-rays to see if you have any broken bones, to see if there's a problem, an immediate problem that's life-threatening or that needs immediate attention. It's not going to deal with, and it doesn't get involved with the pains and injuries you have that could that will last forever, such as a disc herniation, because that's not something the emergency room is going to do. It's going to discharge you and tell you to go to your doctor to deal with non-life-threatening injuries, or to deal with injuries that have not shown up on the x-rays to be something of a broken bone or a problem that needs immediate attention, such as casting or immediate care.
Right. I mean, we've seen a lot of emergency room doctors, a lot of emergency room medical records. You don't get to see the medical records. But then later, when you file an injury claim, the insurance company eventually gets your medical records from the emergency room in the correct way, as we have preached time and time again. You just don't give them wholesale access to all of your records. But they look at them, and then they say things like this through their lawyers or through their adjusters. They say things, well, the emergency room doctor didn't find a traumatic brain injury. The emergency room doctor, that you had a Glasgow Coma Scale of perfect 15, what's your problem? The emergency room doctor didn't find a facet joint injury. Well, of course, they didn't do facet loading and have a positive facet loading test. They're worried, as Brad just said, about life-threatening emergencies. It's a whole different function. You come into the emergency room, they're going to make sure, and they do a good job, and they're going to make sure that you're taken care of, make sure you can leave the hospital, make sure you don't leave until they understand the life-threatening incidents. But that doesn't mean they do a full differential diagnosis, doctor talk, a differential diagnosis of everything, and that doesn't mean they rule out everything, and that doesn't mean they rule out nine things and come down to a diagnosis of one or two. What do they always tell you? They always say you need to go see your PCP. Follow up. If you don't have one, we can help you find one. And then they say you can always come back to the emergency room. But, you know, if you have an active positive brain bleed, they get on it. That's important. That's critical. If you have broken bones, they get on it. Orthopedic injuries that need immediate attention, they get on it. And so and sometimes you go in the emergency room and your neck is killing you. You did injure your left ankle. And what do the insurance companies say, Brad? You didn't report anything about your ankle.
And once again, you may have reported it, and they may not have cared about it. Because once again, it wasn't something that was necessary to have immediate attention. A lot of times you can equate an emergency room to like a MASH unit, where you're going to have the immediate triage, and they're going to take care of the problems that have to be taken care of, like I said, on an emergency basis. It's an emergency room. They're not going to worry about these other injuries. They're going to say, go see your doctor. Now, whether they report it or not all depends on what the nurse, what the intake person, what the doctor is dealing with, and whether or not they're going to add in these additional injuries. Would you like them to? Yes. Would you like it to be there? Yes. And by the way, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you don't necessarily report it. There's such thing as, and the emergency room doctors understand it, and the emergency room personnel, of a distracting injury. And a distracting injury means you have an injury that distracts you from the other problems you have. So if you've hit your head and you've busted open your forehead and you've got blood running down your face and you're trying to stop the blood from running down your face and you're trying to get the stitches and you're, like I said, and you're knocked dizzy and you're kind of silly and you're not certain what's going on, they're going to take care of that. You may not notice the knee problem you're having, or it may be a very minor on the scale, or it may be something that just is there that you've been distracted with a distracting injury that causes you not to really pay attention to the knee at that point. It doesn't mean that you're not going to need a knee replacement later on. And that knee replacement is going to cost around $80,000 to $100,000. It's not a small injury, but it is on an emergency room basis. It becomes a very small injury that they really don't pay attention to.
You can call us anytime at 303-795-5900. That's 795-5900. We'll give you a free initial consultation and a free legal game plan. And we've written a book called Legal Game Plan, and we trademark protected it. We put over our 30 years of experience into this book, and we'll put it into our use for you if you come see us. You must see an attorney early on. That doesn't mean you have to hire an attorney. You need to understand the playing field and what your rights are. You can go to our website also. You can contact us through championsofthepeople.com or see any of our podcasts or any of our books. We've written 6 books. They're all right there. I can't tell you how many times people have come into our office over the years and said, well, I didn't go to the emergency room, but man, when I got up the next day, I couldn't hardly move my neck. I couldn't move my back. I couldn't hardly walk. I had to go to the doctor. It also applies when you go to the emergency room. Sometimes your adrenaline is in hyperspace. Sometimes it's very intense. Sometimes you don't notice all the symptoms. But when everything calms down, you're very, very sore. So what you report in the emergency room, what we're trying to teach you, is doesn't always come as what happens later. Sometimes symptoms and the severity of symptoms onset later.
They most certainly do. And that's another situation where it may not be a distracting injury. It may not be something that just wasn't brought up at the emergency room. It may not be something that was hurting at the time that you went to the emergency room. It may not be something that hurt at the time that you decided you'd get in that ambulance. It can be an injury that doesn't show up for a couple of days. Your body goes through a great deal of impact and a great deal of consequence when a crash happens. You have inflammation. And it can be inflammation that you don't recognize. Don't think, well, I didn't see any bulging in my body, so I couldn't have been, so I couldn't have had the inflammation. No, you still have the inflammation. You have swelling, and as that inflammation, the body tissues inflame. They inflame to protect your body. They inflame to be able to give you to address the injury that you have, and you have certain functions going with your body to help you with the pain. So you may not have recognized these problems, and you don't recognize them until a few days, maybe even a week to 2 weeks afterwards. And then you start noticing you have that nagging, continuing pain in your body, in certain parts of your body, and you're going, what could this be? And what you're finding out as you go through it is you find out it's from being hit, it's from being in an accident, it's from having your body go through whatever happened in the accident. And it doesn't have to be where you hit something in the car. It doesn't have to be where physical contact was made by something in the car.
You know, you understand the attack. You need to understand. Sometimes the insurance company said, well, your emergency room record said this or didn't say this or that. And they try to convince you you don't have a very good claim. You go, wow, I don't have a very good claim. But you need to be educated. And once you're educated on this point, then you understand that the emergency room is not the tell-all. It's not the holy grail. It's not everything in your injury claim. Do not be fooled by this. Now, what happens on the scene when that police come and they're going to do an accident report, a police report? That's very important, what they put in the police report. And can that affect you? Do insurance companies use that against you? Next up, we're going to tell you about the police report and tips on the police report. Bell and Pollock, Champions of the People. We'll be right back. You're on your way to the store, then boom, you're T-boned at 45 miles per hour. Instead of shopping, you're on your way to the ER. Then comes the doctor visits, prescriptions, therapy, diagnostics, ongoing treatment, and the limitations. You have range of motion problems. Then the ultimate insult. The insurance company makes you feel like the crash was your fault. You need a legal game plan. You want a legal game plan. At Bell & Pollock, we've used over 25 years of experience to develop a legal game plan just for you. Our game plan has injury rules, rules of treatment, rules of claims, insurance company rules, litigation rules, rules they use to beat you. Now you can have them and know them and use them to protect you and your family. Our Bell & Pollock legal game plan gives you the rules the insurance company doesn't want you to have, or know, or use. But guess what? We do. At Bell & Pollock, success is no accident. Find us at championsofthepeople.com. That's championsofthepeople.com. Get your free initial consult and your free legal game plan. We'll help you.
Hi, it's Mandy for my friends at Bell and Pollock. I know these guys. They're real. They genuinely care about their clients. And I endorse them because they do business like my dad did. If you've been injured in an accident, call them 303-795-5900.
We're back with Champions of the People, the Bell and Pollock Injury Show. For over three decades, the personal injury attorneys at Bell and Pollock have provided compassionate, personalized legal service. Put their experience to work for you. Go to championsofthepeople.com or call 303-795-5900.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Injury Show, Champions of the People. We've been champions of the people for a lot of years, and we champion people's causes against the insurance companies that try to beat your injury claim and defeat you and pay you nothing or next to nothing, and they do it. And, you know, if you ever read one of our books, we talk about the formula of how the insurance companies make money. And we lay it all out. It's in our book called Legal Game Plan. You need a legal game plan. The insurance companies have one. They have a strategy against you to beat you. You can call us anytime at 303-795-5900. You get a free initial consultation and a free legal game plan. Okay, now you were on your way home. Boom, you got hit. And this is not what you need in life, but you better do the right things from this point forward. The police are called to the scene. You're at the scene. What do we always see, Brad? The people, they're at the scene, and on the accident report, the police puts down, well, I talked to the person that got rear-ended, and he or she said they weren't injured, and the insurance company goes after that.
Yeah, and once again, that's another thing of perspective of what's on the accident report. Sometimes people report, no, I'm not hurt, and the police officer will put that in. Sometimes they have that in their notes that it's not in the accident report, and sometimes it can be very important to get the notes to see what's going on. Other times, the police officers will deal with injury severity, and there's a section for injury severity for everybody in the crash, the passengers, drivers, everybody that's involved in the crash, and the injury severity may say zeros, then that means nobody's hurt when in actuality there was injury. There could have been a report of injury at the scene, and the accident and the injury severity might still be zeros. Because once again, when you're doing that, you have to deal with the agency that's filling out the accident report, the police officer, and determine when they decide that there is an injury severity that is above a zeros, indicating no injury. And that's a complicated formula that, once again, you can't just rely on what's on the report.
Right. And so you see how this stacks up for the insurance company against you? First of all, you go to the emergency room and they use those records against you. You didn't tell the doctor this. The emergency room doctor didn't put down XYZ. Now you're claiming XYZ. It's not in the emergency room records. The police officer asked to the police report, asked you if you were injured. You said you weren't injured. And so they start building this case against you. That's their strategy. You need your strategy, a Bell and Pollock legal game plan. Listen, we have trademark protected this process. We have over 30 years of experience we packed into our book, and we'll give it to you free if you come see us. Bell and Pollock, champions of the people. And that's how they set it up. So let's go to another one, Brad. Always a big question at the scene of an accident is, was the at-fault driver distracted? And there's a provision and a place in the police report for distractions.
That's right. There is a provision for distractions. But just to back up just for 1 minute, I have had police officers tell me when we've had them in interviews that even when you've reported that you were injured, if it's nothing that required medical attention at the scene or for you to go on an ambulance, they will still list zeros for injury severity. So you can report, I'm hurt, and the police officer can find that you're hurt and you have pain, but not classify that as an injury because it's not an obvious injury that they see as far as what's causing the pain. So remember, even if you said I have pain, that doesn't necessarily mean the police officer is going to report injury.
Right. And so, and you always look for distractions. And one of the things you need to learn if you're in an accident, you know, it's very traumatic, and you're injured. Maybe you do need an ambulance. So you can't remember to do all these things. But if you can, and if you're able, you take pictures, as we said before, of the cars. You take pictures of the drivers, of the passengers. You take pictures of their driver's license and of their insurance card. But more importantly, you find out if they were distracted. That is huge. Insurance companies hate this. They don't want their at-fault driver to be distracted. They want this to be what they call just a simple, ordinary negligence. Run into the back of your accident. We're sorry, but we're not going to pay you. If there's a distraction, Brad, what's the biggest one? Texting?
Right. And the distraction section is a relatively new section on the police report and the accident report. And it's there because they've been dealing with so many times when people are distracted. They're talking on their phone or they're texting. Now, we can go further than that with respect to a distraction. It can be eating. It can be looking at the radio. It can be talking to somebody else. It can be looking out the window. So the police officer, once again, may not take every distraction and identify it as a, quote, distraction. The main ones they're looking at most of the time is going to be something such as texting or something such as talking on the phone. Nowadays, you know, you get people who turn on their iPads and they're even watching little videos and stuff while they're driving, or they've got them going and they're watching other things and they're not paying attention to their driving. This is a distraction. And now we have that section. But just because that section has not been marked, that does not mean that your lawyer should not be trying to find out the necessary information to help determine whether or not this person was texting.
Right. We get in these cases and we ask under oath, were you on the phone? Were you texting? And most times they say no. But I can't tell you how many cases then we go get the phone records. And yes, they were. They were on the phone, and most judges these days will grant an order for access to the phone records somewhere between an hour to 3 hours before the crash and an hour to 3 hours afterwards, sometimes the whole day. Point is, were they distracted? How does that help you in an injury claim? What do you do with that? What difference does that make on the value of your claim? Because it goes a long ways to proving liability and gets the insurance company out of their normal little mode
their mode of, wow, this is just an ordinary blasé accident and we're not going to pay anybody, right? And so it gets them out of that mode. You must look for these distractions. Sometimes the police officer asks you out fault driver, were you on your phone? Were you on your phone? And they say no. Were you texting? No. So they put down no. No distraction. When they didn't investigate the phone records, these must be investigated.
And the only way you're going to get that is being persistent and tenacious in getting this information. I believe that quite often you can have adjusters even when they're calling and talking to the person, asking them, were you on your phone or were you texting? The person's going to deny it. So even when they're denying it at that point, you have to be able to get in there and take a look at their phone records and determine whether or not they were on the phone. If somebody else was on the if they were on somebody else's phone, sometimes you got to find out if there's passengers and all the phones in the car. You've got to try and keep up with what they were doing while they were driving that caused this crash.
Right. And distractions can be. It's been proven cognitively that just talking on the phone can be a distraction. Holding your phone. I can't tell you how many times I drive every day and look at the driver next to me. We're going 40, 45 miles an hour, 50 miles an hour. They're not even looking at the road. They're looking at their phone. This is a huge issue. And we're talking about the police report. And the police do investigate this. Some people have, clients have told us that, you know, I saw the person on their phone. Tell the police. It goes in the police report. That's a huge issue, the distractions. Brett, let's talk a little bit about the violation. They say, well, the other person got the ticket. She rear-ended me, and she got the ticket, so everything's fine.
Now, the only time that matters to the police, to the insurance company, is if the person opposite the insurance company, their non-policyholder, got the ticket. If their policyholder got the ticket, they're going to tell you, oh, those don't mean anything. We don't care if they got the citation. We don't care what happened in traffic court. We don't care if they went and pled guilty, because we don't look at that. We look at what happened, and we make our own independent decision, and we make our own independent position with regard to whether or not we're going to pay for your injuries, your damages, and your losses. Now, if it just so happens that you got the citation and their insurer didn't, now they're going to be talking to you, and about every third sentence is going to be, you know, you got the ticket. You know, the police officer determined you were at fault. You know that they blamed you. You know that the police officer determined you were wrong. So you've got to understand that, once again, most of the time when a crash happens like this, the police officer is not there to see it. Police officers working off the statements of what people tell them. And sometimes they arrive at opinions that are correct. Sometimes they arrive at opinions that are not correct. Sometimes they determine the citation is appropriate, and it may not be necessarily what caused the crash. It may be something different. So you've got to look at and see what the police officer is saying with respect to that crash or with respect to that ticket, and what caused the crash versus what is the reason for the ticket. There is a separate section that is in the police report where they ask for contributing causes to the crash. So you want to, a lot of times, match that up so you can look at both reports or both statements and find out what was meant.
Right. And, you should look for the distractions. You should report it to the police officer. Most people say, the other person got a ticket. Everything's fine. I don't even need to go see an attorney. That is wrong. Why? Because the citation. Nobody knows this. The citation and the violation, maybe it's careless driving. Maybe it's improper lane change. Maybe it's running into the rear of somebody. Never comes up into evidence in trial. You can't use it. It's irrelevant. It's not admissible. You can't say the other person got the ticket in trial, in your injury trial. And the insurance companies know that, so they try to use it against you before you get to the stage where your injury trial is. You know, and Brad, let's talk about also some other entries on the police report. The condition of the road, the speeds of the vehicles, if there were any witnesses around. These are all very important.
Absolutely. Giving you the witnesses is vital to look at that report and find out what's going on. And also getting the initial measurements or the initial marks on the road, the initial places where glass was found from a crash, or where parts of the car were found from the crash, knowing where it occurred, and hopefully you have some measurements. Hopefully you have some way you can place the cars where they were at the time of the crash, and then you can put them at the necessary angles to know where the cars were and how they impacted each other.
You know, Brad's put it so well so many times. If you're taking pictures, make sure you get some landmarks in the background so you can see where the cars were, where they are. Put it in perspective. That's very important. You can call us anytime at 303 303-
795-5900. That's 795-5900. You get a free initial consultation and a free legal game plan, a strategy. You'll know what to do. You'll know what your rights are. You can go to our website anytime, championsofthepeople.com. It's an information letter website. All of our six books are there. Our most recent book is The Definitive Guideline on Car Insurance in Colorado. We do this for you because we are your champions of the people.
It's Mandy Connell. Join my friends Gary Bell and Brad Pollack for the Bell and Pollack Legal Show right here on KHOW every Saturday morning at 7. It's a live call-in show to give Coloradans like you free legal advice on any topic you'd like to discuss with them.